What do you have to lose? You were given this one life, and you have been given this talent. Why would you not spend your life chasing it? Even if you're not creating for anyone besides yourself, just do it. Even if it's in your free time, you're at an hour before you go to bed, an hour in the morning, as soon as you wake up, before you even get ready, wake up an hour earlier, just an hour, 15 minutes, just create something if that's where your passion is at. Because even if you're not doing it as in a career, you're going to do it and that's going to start to fill your cup.
Welcome to another episode of Innovation Insights, where we dive deep into the minds shaping the future of industries through innovation, creativity, and groundbreaking research. We believe that innovation happens in all aspects of life. I'm your host, Dr. Yolanda Sanders. Today, we are delighted to host Liz Spencer, the founder and creative powerhouse behind Bridal by SHL. Since its inception in 2020, Bridal by SHL, based in Kearney, Missouri, has quickly established itself as a beacon of inclusivity and creativity within the bridal industry. Liz's journey began with a passion for design, doodling dresses and outfits from a young age. This naturally led her to pursue an apparel, merchandising, and design degree at Iowa State University. After college, Liz's professional path included competing in Omaha Fashion Week and managing local apparel retail. The loss of her grandfather in 2019 catalyzed her decision to fully embrace her passion for bridal fashion. By 2020, she had launched Bridal by SHL, which started as an alteration shop and evolved into a boutique that designs and sells wedding gowns. She is supported by an incredible team of women who help bring her vision to life. Recently, Bridal by SHL was recognized as a finalist in two prestigious categories at the Kansas City Engaged Couple Choice Awards: Best Wedding Gown Shop and Best Bridal Designer, winning the latter. This accolade is a testament to Liz's deep connection with her clients, whose support fuels her ongoing commitment to excellence. Liz's journey is also marked by resilience. Born with paralysis in her right arm, she has never allowed it to limit her dreams. This experience profoundly shapes her mission to ensure that her boutique is a place where diversity, body positivity, and personal expression are celebrated, making every bride feel confident, sexy, and radiant. Join us as Liz shares her inspiring story of creativity, determination, and empowerment, and how she transforms the bridal industry to make every bride's dream day spectacular. Liz, welcome to the Innovation Insights podcast.
Hello.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Happy to be here.
Well, and I feel so honored because you were a former student of mine, and it's been fun to watch your business adventure over the last few years. So just thrilled to have you here and so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Well, what drew you to the world of fashion and bridal design?
Oh man, you know, I actually get that question a lot. And to be honest, I've always just liked art, even just growing up, art. I didn't really care what form, but creating. Making something out of nothing, just with either paper and pencil or fabric now, and like crayons, you know, anything. So fashion specifically, I think I was always doodling some kind of outfit, whether I was, I don't know, doodling in class to pass the time or, I don't know, just doodling always. So I, didn't even sew until, I think I was a junior in high school, about to go into senior year, and I had no idea really what I wanted to do with my life. And my mom got me my first sewing machine, and I made an apron, and it took me like 3 days, and I hated it, every bit of it. but I knew that there was like other aspects of design that I have thoroughly enjoyed my entire life. And it wasn't until college and your program that like I started really sewing and kind of I needed to understand it more. And like, that's kind of just how my brain works. And I just needed to know all the pieces before it really clicked for me. And until that clicked, I wasn't like in it. But as soon as it did, I have not been able to stop. And it's just constantly a world of creating around me of some sort.
Well, you definitely haven't stopped at all. Founding your business, and this has taken off, and it's in the Kansas City area, correct?
Yeah, we're about 30 minutes north of like downtown Kansas City.
Wow. Wow. What a great market to be in too.
There's so much competition here, but I'm telling you, it's so kind. Like just the people are just so kind, and I'm so grateful we get to be a part of it.
Cool. Well, what inspired you to start your business?
Well, so obviously, I went through apparel design school, right? So I actually minored in entrepreneurship, and I've always kind of had this calling to want my own business. After college, I didn't really want to go. I wanted to stay in Kansas City. It's where I grew up. It's my home. And I just didn't know what exactly yet, but I knew I wanted my own business around clothing somewhere in the Midwest. And I was working at a retail store. I was working at Maurice's, and I went from like part-time stylist to first assistant manager in like less than a year. And I got to a point where I was like, well, I either eventually stay with this and stick it out and get my own store maybe one day, or I don't know. I was just at this crossroads. And back in 2019, my grandpa actually unexpectedly passed away. And it was just kind of this moment where life is just too dang short. And I was already feeling that pull, and it just kind of solidified it for me. So I think it was less than a month. I was like, this, something doesn't feel right. I'm not settled yet. Like there's more. And I just listened to it. My boss was so understanding at the time. I loved her. She was amazing. But I had to just take that calling. So I quit, and I didn't have a job really for like 6 months. I kept telling myself, I was like, oh, I'm going to redo my basement. I'm going to do alterations in my house. And I did. And I had like 3 clients, I think. And then I realized I didn't want people in my house. So, yeah, I started looking for properties around my town, and the perfect little space right down the street popped up. It was 800 little square feet, and it was perfect. Just perfect. So, yeah, signed my business lease April of 2020 of all time. It's like, that was a bold decision, but I was like, because I'm me, I'm going to have so much time to design. It's going to be great. No, no. As soon as I opened my doors, I had so many people. The support of this community is amazing, but I had so many people. As soon as they found out I could sew, everybody was home going through their closets during COVID and wanting to make use of what they were doing, like what they already had. And so I was fashioning up all kinds of things, fixing holes, repairing jeans. I was doing all kinds of things. But yeah, it just took off running.
Wow. Well, I didn't think about that as part of the impact of COVID on alterations and kind of redesigning clothing that people. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, sorry for the loss of your grandfather. I know that is not easy. But kudos to you for saying, hey, life is too short, because it is.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah, I mean, what a great, bold move you made.
Yeah.
Now, another bold move that you made while you were in college is that you competed in Omaha Fashion Week.
Yes. And
tell a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. So I wanted to create just a collection of evening gowns. And my goal was to have it all hand-dyed. So like I was really into, I took a dyeing class my last semester of college, and I fell in love with it. And I created this collection. I think there was 6 looks. Because it was, you know, the bare minimum, and I was also trying to juggle everything else. But hand-dyed collection of silk charmeuse gowns. I think there was some chiffon in there too, but all raw silks. And they just dyed beautifully. I also went to, when I was in the apparel design program, I also went to China for 3 weeks. And we did some like hand dyeing workshops while we were there too. So I used some of those methods that I got to learn in China as well, and just kind of bring that to life. So it was just kind of all of this fun. Omaha Fashion Week gave me this outlet to just create for fun instead of this as an assignment. And I feel like it just kind of lit this excitement of like what's to come in the future for me. I ended up doing a second season of Omaha Fashion Week 2 back to back, which was wild, but here we are. In that second season, I did more ready to wear, and I definitely had way more challenging, more of a challenging time coming up with designs for that. But I did all natural dyes instead of like man-made synthetic dyes with that one. So I was using like raw indigo and onion skins, like peels. I steamed flower petals. I was just trying to go with whatever I could find. But it was, again, it was just that outlet to let me create and get fun. And there wasn't really rules or like anything to go with that. And it could just be whatever I wanted it to be. And I felt like that was what a great starting point too, because I had that base knowledge, but I could build onto it from the creative side, and also just challenge what I wanted to create. And if it was a flop, then it was a flop and there was nothing really riding on it, but it was, wow, I did that and I learned from it and I know how to tackle it better next time. Like that's the biggest thing I think holds people back. And I'm like, just do it. Take the chance, just do it. Because again, you took that risk on yourself. You let yourself go for it. What do you have to lose?
Well, again, kudos to you for doing that. And back to back to do 2 of them. And you know, for our audience, this is, you know, if a student is doing this, this is absolutely on top of their other schoolwork. And design programs are extremely demanding and time consuming. And so kudos to you. And Omaha Fashion Week has, you know, just been a wonderful outlet in the Midwest and in Kansas City Fashion Week for young designers. So I'm so glad that you did that. So tell us a little bit more about your company. What does SHL stand for?
So that's probably the question I get asked the most all the time. They're like, oh, is that your initials? Like, no. SHL is single-handedly Liz. So I came up with it in college for my senior collection. Just something, it was just me doing all of it, but also I have the fun added challenge in my life of my right arm being paralyzed. And so that SHL just is a little double meaning for me. And I do everything one-handed. So obviously that comes with its own challenges, but it's been so fun too, to just still not let it stop me.
And it hasn't. It hasn't. It has not. I remember, because I had you in senior collection class when I was still teaching design courses, and I was like, this woman has it together. And so when you started your business, I was like, I was not surprised. I was like, yeah. And, you know, also that you won Best Bridal Designer at the Kansas City Engaged Couple Choice Awards recently.
Yeah.
Not surprised at all, because you just have, you know, just that innovation and that just get it done. So tell us about winning that award.
Honestly, I'm still kind of dumbfounded that I won that one. The talent in Kansas City is unmatched. And just to be even listed in the top, what a freaking honor. But to win that, I think I was like on stage thanking everybody, but like crying. Being a disabled person alone, I feel like I've always had to prove myself, and to have people see me and all the work that I go, like that I put in and day out. And like, they not like, oh, they like me, but they see it enough that I get to be recognized for that. That was incredible. And I don't know if I still have actual words to describe past that. It's pretty freaking cool though. So.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah, it really does speak to having your peers, you know, recognize your work. That just really says a lot. And it's just going to be fun to see, you know, what else that you achieve. You know, thinking about your business, what is your business philosophy?
I feel like I should have this, like, very well-dated statement, but I really don't. But essentially it comes down to all is welcome, and whatever walk of life you're on, we have the care, we have the environment, we have the product that you're wanting, that you're looking for, and we can make it exactly yours. And just giving that space for that.
I love that you say care. I love that you say care.
That's a big thing for me.
Yeah. And why?
I mean, with a disability, I've grown up and I've been bullied a lot. And it's that proving thing. And I want people to walk in my doors and not feel like they have... We get to meet them where they're at. They don't have to show up. They don't have to perform. They don't have to have these expectations. There's a lot of emotions and overwhelm and excitement and stress and financial burden and all these emotions that come with wedding planning. And it's not lost on me that this is a big part of that, finding your wedding gown. So to be able to take that off their plate and just have fun and guide them through an experience where they're comfortable and just in a warm and inviting space, I get to do that. And what a privilege that is, you know, like just to meet them where they're at and just take that stress and burden off of them to just go put on some fun dresses and let yourself feel pretty for a bit.
Oh, I so appreciate that you say meet them where they're at, because that's something I've always said in my, you know, work and life. You know, you meet someone where they are. And, you know, it's interesting for a podcast that's focused on innovation. There's been so much discussion about people and care and empathy and including people. And I'm so glad to hear that, because sometimes when we think about innovation, we think about, you know, just kind of hard technology, but it's innovative. Unfortunately, sometimes it's innovative to be nice.
Yeah. Be kind, which is crazy.
It is. That's just kind of where we are. So, you know, you've touched on this about inclusivity and body positivity, and then also just the stress of being a bride. I made a decision early in my career, and I've had businesses that are design related. I was like, there's no way I'm going to do bridal, because there's a lot of baggage that comes with brides, bridesmaids, their family, the emotions, the finances. As you said, there's just a lot of baggage. And so, yeah, how do you, you know, incorporate? So when someone comes in to meet into your business, how do you make them feel cared for or meeting them where they're? How do you do that?
So whenever they book an appointment with us, we're already sending them questionnaires about like what they're looking for and just kind of what are your size range, your budget, trying to build that before. And then we're going to call them before they ever come in after they fill this out so we can tell them like, hey, this is worth the trip. This is not worth the trip. Because we don't want to waste anyone's time. We understand. And once they get here, I think they've already got that comfortability with us too. Like they know that we are paying attention to that person. Like they're the one our energy is going towards. I notice a lot with curvier and plus size brides too. There's a lot of anxiety. Because it's always sample sizes and bridal. First of all, bridal sizing is so stupid and runs incredibly small anyway, but that's a topic for a different day. They're just worried they're not going to be able to even put something on and they're just going to be told left and right. Well, just imagine, just envision it. Oh, just trust the process. You're getting your wedding dress. You don't need to trust the process. Like there's a little bit in that, but oh, imagine if this fit right here and you're, you know, that's frustrating. And so, right, you get it.
Okay, if you went to a car dealership and you're like, what? It doesn't have a steering wheel, but trust it. And yeah, it only has three tires instead of four. But trust it. Right. Trust the process.
Exactly. It'll get there. And while there are some things in the alterations and customization side of things, but yes, but whenever you're shopping, you don't need to, you need to be able to get that excited, giddy, I'm about to walk down the aisle and marry my person. You need that feeling. And so I remember whenever I first bought my first round of inventory for my store, I'm not a small person. And so I think I ordered like 18. It was the biggest the brand went. And whenever the dresses came in, I put them on and I couldn't zip them. And I'm like, I'm the owner. Why the heck would I continue to buy sizing from or brands that don't have inclusive sizing if I am not even getting married right now and I feel this way? I feel like crap. I don't want to make a customer feel this way. So the first thing I did after that, I started researching brands that literally size 0 to like 36. And that's who I picked up.
That's great. That's great. Oh, yeah. Well, it's tough. And you're right. Bridal runs small all the time. The manufacturers are not thinking about that care and that the feelings of the there's definitely not a lot of vanity sizing happening there. So for your business, so you carry brands, but then do you also design your own brands too or line?
We are currently in the process of creating my first collection for the store and hoping to do a big drop and event later this year. More details to come. I will keep you updated as they progress. But I currently have 4 or 5 designers on my rack, and I'm hoping to add my first collection to the rack by the end of the year. I've done some custom gowns for clients in between, but I haven't done a full collection for myself just yet. So,
okay. Wow, that's exciting. That's exciting.
It's fun.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back when your collection drops.
Yeah, I would love that.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Well, that's great, too. I mean, what a smart business model to carry some other designers, but also do custom designs and then alterations. So you're really meeting a variety of different needs. That is really, really smart.
I do think there's like a disconnect between bridal salons and boutiques and then alteration specialists. And I feel like we've been able to bridge that gap because we do in-house alterations, but B, my floor plan of my store is all open. And so I have half my shop is shopping and then the other half is the sewing. And so I've got an alteration specialist at any given time can be pulled aside to talk to these brides about fit if they're concerned about how something's going to fit them. Again, trust that process, but that is an alteration thing. And just kind of keeping that peace of mind. And it's really helped, I think.
That is really, really smart because oftentimes alterations happen not in-house or they're off and being sent back to the manufacturer or some other location. So to have someone there to help with that customer experience on the retail side, really, really smart. Love it. Love it. Oh, so what do you see in the next 5 years for your business?
I mean, if I'm dreaming, I would love to make this a flagship store for SHL and just to become a brand. Obviously, there's a lot of ins and outs of that and like figuring out manufacturing and just kind of scaling the business. But ideally, yeah, I would love to sell my designs to other stores and just kind of grow a little bit.
Well, you're on your way. You're on your way.
I'm sure I couldn't do without all my team, though. They're incredible. And it's definitely, yes, it's SHL, but I am not alone and I never have been.
Yeah. How many people are on your team? Because I've seen pictures on social media.
Yeah, I have a team of 7 other women with me. Yep.
Wow. Pretty cool. That is great. That is so great. And what, you know, economic development that you're, you know, providing for your community too, and for women in that. Love it.
Pretty.
So what's a day like for you?
Honestly, we're a bunch of silly girls, if I'm being honest. It's a little chaotic, but we have so again, we have the two sides. So I've got my sales manager and social media manager, and they are constantly doing inventory updates, trend research to look for what's coming. We're evaluating all of our sales patterns just to see what's selling, what's not, what sizes, because then it helps us prepare for next season and buying. And then my social media gal, she is constantly trying to come up with new content and staying up with that because you know how important that is. Then my side of things, I do admin in the morning, and then I've got my 2 other seamstresses with me that are constantly doing alterations and other custom patterns and they've been with me 2 years, which has been great. So we've done a lot of training and I've been able to share my knowledge on pattern making and different fit things. But whenever I was hiring people too, we all have so much different knowledge that we've picked up on it. And everyone brings their own like expertise to the table. And I'm not a technical person. Like I'm not a technical designer. I'm 100% creative. And I've got another seamstress on my team that is 100% technical. And honestly, she challenges me in the best way. And it's like made me a better designer, a better boss. And I think same for me with her, truly. But to be able to have that, full roundedness in coming up with solutions for alterations and customs, it helps so much.
Well, I mean, yeah, great job, you know, creating a team around you that's, you know, coming with different strengths and attributes, because, you know, what you're doing is so much problem solving. And so, you know, they say, you know, more minds,
yeah,
you know, this can definitely solve those problems better. One thing I wanted to ask you. So I know that your degree focused on design, but then also you did an internship and worked in retail. So how was that combination for you, and how having both of those experiences helped your business? Because sometimes over the years, I've heard students like, I don't want to do anything with retail or anything with merchandising. And the merchandisers don't want to do anything with design. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I honestly, whenever I got started at Maurice's, I was actually thrilled whenever I started in the management position, because I got the design part. I got that base knowledge. Managing is a totally different set of rules, obstacles. Even trying to schedule 7 different people's work, like whenever they've got different, making a schedule for that many people, a team, and managing your books and your workloads. And had I not had that base knowledge from a retail store, I think I would be a few years behind where I am today, because everyone has their strengths. But I didn't have to go through the financial challenge of once I started my business, had I started right away, I didn't have to try and just figure it out along the way. I had something to go off of. I knew I needed CRMs and SOPs and like all of these different programs to help me create scheduling and systems and rules, because people are from everywhere and different backgrounds, and there needs to be a guideline to go through it. So having the management experience, I knew what to do if somebody didn't show up for a shift. I knew I'm the owner, so nobody showed up today, I still have to show up. That's still a thing. You carry the weight whenever you're in that management position. And I don't, obviously it's way heightened as an owner, but it definitely laid the groundwork. And I think every single bit of that plays into a career. And there is a reason that retail stores have those positions. There's a reason that designers have those positions. But I guarantee you, those people didn't start out in that position. They had groundwork already laid.
Well, what advice would you give to students who are interested in entrepreneurship and starting their own business?
So obviously challenges are going to come up, and that's different for everyone. Something I get all the time is, you sew and you have one arm. Like, yep. Life would be really boring if I let it stop me. And that's all I have to say about that part of it. But if you just have to show up, you have to do it. That's my biggest piece of advice. What do you have to lose? You were given this one life and you have been given this talent. Why would you not spend your life chasing it? Even if you're not creating for anyone besides yourself, just do it. Even if it's in your free time, you're at an hour before you go to bed, an hour in the morning, as soon as you wake up, before you even get ready, wake up an hour earlier, just an hour, 15 minutes, just create something. If that's where your passion is at, because even if you're not doing it as in a career, you're going to do it, and that's going to start to fill your cup. And I've been like reflecting a lot, and I've been fighting burnout, and because we grew really quick, which is what a blessing, but that burnout is true. It is a real thing. And if you don't heal it, you're not down a good path. And I've been reflecting on if my customers are excited to see me and excited to come visit me, what makes me excited to come see them? And so I think that's very much a double-sided coin. And if I'm not filling my cup with the things that bring me joy and making time for it, I'm going to burn out way quicker than I ever imagined.
And so what are you doing? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You're okay. I have been trying to manage my health first and foremost. My left arm gets very tired pretty quick these days, just because I'm using it all the time. So finding like different stretches and like prioritizing the like exercise has been a big thing. When you're working a lot as a small business owner, your hours are a little nuts. So prioritizing that is important. But finding a little bit more balance. I got married last year, and so finding some time just to date my husband still, and coffee dates with my best friend, and we do monthly nail dates. We get our nails done, and always get coffee, and it just balance is the best like that I can recommend for it. Just gotta fill your cup.
That is so good. Thank you for sharing that, because many innovators, entrepreneurs, they do go through burnout because, you know, they're having to do everything and there's so much pressure. You know, sometimes it's glamorized probably, you know, through TV and reality shows about being entrepreneur. Yeah, and social. Yeah.
It's all just a snippet.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's just a lot, you know, starting this business. So what's the best way to get in touch with you? And we'll put information also in the show notes.
Honestly, so to get in touch is either our website, which is just bridalbyshl.com. Or if you want to just see what we're all about, we always have obviously pretty content of dresses, you know, on social media, but just our shenanigans too. Instagram is where we're probably the most active, but I know we have TikTok while it's still here, and Pinterest and Facebook too, but probably Instagram and our website.
Well, we'll make sure all of those are included with links in the notes. And so one question we asked all of our guests is, how do you define innovation?
Innovation, I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, but my mind went to also the engineering and technologies and science. And I think the kindness, the showing up and meeting people where they are. Maybe, okay, they've never shopped for a wedding dress before, right? So I'm here. I do this all the time. My team does this all the time. We're meeting them where they are. So something that seems everyday basic to us, we're going to show them SHL's way of doing it. We're going to meet them with kindness, with open arms, with a warm, welcoming environment. And we're going to show them that sample sizing isn't just 10s, 12s, and 14s. We're going to show them that we've also got two, like zeros and twos, but also 28s and 32s. And we're going to show them that if they don't like their arms, we can fix that. Like we can build a sleeve up. We are just going to show them that their dream is possible. And I think meeting people where they are at is exactly what this world needs more of. And I think that in itself is innovative. Kindness and welcoming. That's exactly what the world needs, in my opinion. And I think that's what's going to keep the world going, you know?
What a lovely, lovely, lovely definition. And I love the SHL way. Wonderful. Thank you for being here and sharing your story. You're so inspiring and just, you know, a great businesswoman. It's just fun to to hear about how your business model, how you're approaching the business and diversifying your revenue streams and then planning for growth and scaling. So
thank you.
Just congratulations. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm telling you, I was so giddy. I was so giddy when I got your email. So thank you.
You're so welcome. Laugh, because sometimes when people get emails from me, they're not giddy.
So thank you.
Thank you. We'll definitely invite you back. I can't wait to hear about the launch of your line and your collection. That's going to be fabulous. And for our listeners, we hope that you are inspired as I am with this knowledgeable and passionate and caring business that is taking over the bridal fashion world. Remember, when you're planning a wedding or dreaming about the future, Liz and her team at Bridal by SHL are crafting beautiful experiences one gown at a time. So please make sure that you follow Liz and her team on social media. We'll have the links available in our show episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please like, subscribe, follow us so that we can keep this up and leave us a review. And until next time, keep innovating, keep dreaming, and keep making a difference.